You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
As we've been covering, Congress is back in session. Budget negotiations in Congress are well underway. Lawmakers are trying to thread that needle to get some things done before the clock runs out. Two important dates coming up, January the 19th and then February the 2nd. And I keep going back to the irony of that being Groundhog Day because I feel like we keep ending up on this kicking the can down the road scenario with the shutdown showdown. But interestingly, as we move into the new year, Utah's playing a key role in a lot of these negotiations and really helping shape what that federal budget could look like and how things could be done differently. And joining us to discuss that and someone who's been in those conversations, Representative Blake Moore, of course, representing Utah's 1st District, also vice chair of the House Republican Conference. And Representative Moore, Happy New Year to you and welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. And now I'm never going to look at Groundhog Day differently. bad image. Because you're exactly right. It's Groundhog Day. And we've been dealing with this stuff since we came to a number in the debt ceiling bill that was a great, you know, reduction in actual year-over-year spending, and we just need to implement it. So let's get it done.
That is exactly where we need to be. So give us a sense, as you reconvene with your colleagues today, give us a sense of where things are and what you expect to see. We know the number was agreed to, the top-line number agreed to over the weekend with Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. How do you expect to see that play out as you take those top-line numbers and actually get them down to the line-by-line where they need to go in the bill text?
Well, I was a little more optimistic about it, except for the last couple hours when we've seen some direction from the Senate that they're going to need more time than what we've got. Given you get it's great to be able to fully announce that we've got that top line number. Now, it's very close to the top line number that we agreed to back in the early part of the summer, and then we had, you know, all the time wasted in the fall. And I could be very critical of us for you know, doing the speaker drama instead of actually just doing our job. And I've been an advocate of trying to just get our job done. But so I'm a little concerned about what I'm hearing a little bit from the Senate on doing that part. What you say is very important. The top line number is great, but where does it all fit in the line items? That's going to be the battle. So if there's any extension or not, that's a concern. But it feels like we're at the number. I think that the important thing is, and particularly for Utah, we just don't want to do a long-term, year-long, just push it out. Because what that does is that freezes what we currently have, and it doesn't allow for the innovation and modernization that what we've gone through on the policy side for things like our defense budget.
Yeah.
And so that's something that we really, really need to avoid. And so just that's what we're ultimately up against is if we're unwilling to vote for a good bill that reduces spending for the first time in a decade, that reduces non-defense discretionary budget in a very, very responsible way, then, you know, we're going to be stuck with a bill that's just an extension of what we had before and of the long term piece, and it's really bad for our military and other programs. So that's what we're facing right now.
Yeah, I want to dig into that a little bit in terms of the military component to this, Hill Air Force Base in particular. This has been something you've been very adamant about in your time in Congress, is that when we do these continuing resolutions, everyone kind of does that with a shoulder shrug and say, well, we just keep spending as we are, so it's okay. But it's really not, and you alluded to this, Congressman. I want you to unpack it for us, that when we say continuing resolution, that means if there is some great innovation or if there is something in the military that's not working, we can't change from what's not working to something that's new and innovative because it hasn't been approved in that budget process.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the most unorganized, confusing processes that exist. And so real quick, we have a bill we're introducing this week. It actually gets at the heart of the issue with our federal budgeting. Right now, we only actually budget on 1/4, maybe a little under 30% of all of money spent. That's just the appropriation side. The direct spending or the mandatory spending is over 70% of the budget, and we actually don't even legislate on it for the most part on a consistent basis. These are things like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, big programs, welfare programs. Like, all of that has to be in the process. You can't just look at one-fourth of your budget and say you're doing something. And that's the big frustration that I've had back here, is actually incorporating the entirety of it. And so we're really excited about this bill. It's something that we've worked on with Americans for Prosperity, and it would take a more all-encompassing approach. But in response to your specific question, so you get down to three options when you talk federal budgeting. One option is to pass the bills and get them done on time at the end of September. The second option is, if you can't finalize the bills in time, you have to do a short-term CR. In order to get that time and buy yourself that time to be able to get it done. And then the third option is like that, we'll just do a year-long long-term CR and just completely kick the can down the road. That third option is absolutely horrible for our military. We've come up with new programs that are targeted to address the threats we face today. We're working more towards the South Pacific on our equipment and our in manufacturing, and just our general approach to what needs to take place in that threat environment, as opposed to maybe more of a Middle East type of environment. We have to implement that stuff. But the problem is, the same folks that are unwilling to vote for a good bill that reduces spending but is a good bill that gets the first part done are the same folks that are against that second option of extending it till you can get it done. And the only thing that happens if you don't do that is a government shutdown. So that's even worse for our military, sending our men and women that are out there fighting for us, that are out there serving our nation in uniform, all the way extended to our TSA agents, like just sending them to work without a paycheck, sending them, just doing that. That's the part that's really difficult to do. And so those are the scenarios that you get an option of. And I'm a proponent of getting your job done on the first go around and getting it done, but putting, you know, it's kind of like, let's threaten shutdown. Let's do shutdown. But shutdown has not solved our debt. Right. We have had three shutdowns over the last decade, and none of them have solved our growing debt. Our debt has to be dealt with on a comprehensive approach.
Yeah, no question about it. And I share your frustration. We actually have a sign here in the office that says, doing your job is part of your job. And I know you've got a few back there that don't quite seem to grasp that. And I thought it was ironic. You know, I was thinking about it this morning, thinking through the fact that today you actually should be working on the 2025 appropriations that need to be done before the end of September, because September 30th always comes. We've proven that out. So in your role moving forward, Representative, as a vice chair of the House Republican Conference, give us something on the horizon, something that you're looking for. I know it's an election year that creates all kinds of different challenges and problems, but what's a conversation you hope to be having with the people here in the district, but also with the American people as we move through 2024.
So, like I mentioned, that I'm, you know, introducing this particular bill. This bill, it's not the first person to think about reforming the budget process. I won't take that claim, but it is a very straightforward, thoughtful bill that should garner bipartisan support, because it's not about specific numbers. It's about the process.
Yeah.
And on the budget committee too, we're also seeing a very bipartisan approach to how can we address this. So this work is going on. It's obviously not as, you know, we're proving that it doesn't work over and over by having the budget fights that we're having. But there is a sincere concerted effort to deal with it. And I'm still very hopeful that we can enact a debt commission, the fiscal responsibility, or like a fiscal commission that doesn't just tell you good ideas and lay out a good strategy, but it actually forces action. And that's what I came back here for. I want to be in a position to reverse our debt culture. And in order to do that, you have to deal with it. You have to be able to engage on legislation, and that's another way to do it. So those are some of the big things that I'm really keying on and hopeful for.
Fantastic. Very busy day as Congress reconvenes back in our nation's capital. Representative Blake Moore from Utah's 1st Congressional District, Vice Chair of the House Republican Conference, in the room where it happens with a lot of these crucial conversations when it comes to the budget and the fiscal responsibility that we have for the United States of America. Representative Moore, thanks so much for joining us today on a very busy day in Washington.
Thanks so much.
All right. Again, that's Representative Blake Moore from Utah's 1st Congressional District. And those are big-time conversations that we got to get to the real part of the conversation. And I love where Representative Moore is leaning into the process. Because if we get the process right, the transparency follows, the trust comes, and the result is good for the American people. We'll be right back.
911, emergency.
They kidnapped my son.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.